Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Last night, I met a tattoo artist in a bar. That wasn't me, but that was said to me by one of my kids. At the end of the program today, I'm going to tell you the story about that. Oh my goodness. I am actually thrilled about today's program, so much to share with you. And it's all inspired by a particular book that I'll mention to you in just a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran, and it is a joy to be with you. Today, we're going to begin with prayer and several stories to share with you, all woven together around a couple of themes in a book that I'll be discussing more fully in a couple of weeks. That book is called He Leadeth Me. Let's pray first, and then we'll build from there. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' holy name. We thank you and praise you for the gift of our lives, the gift of our faith. Lord, I pray today for the grace to be missionary disciples, to be open to your call, to live generously, to extend ourselves, Lord, in love. Lord, ask a blessing upon each of those who hear my voice right now, that you would stand with them, my dear brothers and sisters, and wherever they are, Lord, stand with them at their point of deepest need. Give them the grace, Lord, to have a good moment, a good hour, a good day. And I make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The perennial themes of our spiritual life is overcoming ourselves, our own attempts to make things happen, to be the great cause of the effects that are part of our lives. And while that has lots of value in many aspects of our lives, that sense of determination, the willingness to work hard, the dedication to not to overcome passivity and to attempt to shape and mold things. In the spiritual life, it can be a great temptation towards pride, where we elevate ourselves and our capabilities and hedge towards or move towards accomplishing things on our own versus trusting and entrusting ourselves into God's hands and giving space for him to act, giving room for him to move. And there are lots of times in our lives where we don't see the things happen that we're striving so hard to accomplish because we're not giving enough space to let God work. I've got an example of that. And by the way, this is tying into the book, He Leadeth Me, by Walter Cizek, which is C-I-S-Z-E-K, a Jesuit. It's the book club book that we're going to be covering in about 2 weeks, just under 2 weeks. I'll be reading it, discussing it with Father Kurt Nagel and Father Jeff Lewis a week from Monday. And this is one of those books where it's hard to overstate how much I believe this book will change your life. Boy, there you go. Talk about being dramatic. Book is profound. Let me come back around, though, to this theme of and trusting and entrusting versus attempting to cause and make happen. It's not a perfect analogy, but in October, I took a trip. It was a real estate conference I was at. And on my way home, I was traveling through Denver. Denver was where the event was. And I got to the airport, checked my bags. And in part of checking bags, I had to take my laptop out of my backpack. I was in such a hurry, and I had a number of bags and things that I had kind of jammed into bags that I had to put into separate trays. You know where this is going. I ended up leaving the laptop behind. I don't know how it happened. It was sort of a backup of trays, and somehow that tray, I didn't realize I had left my laptop there. Within about 5 or 10 minutes, I got to my gate and went to take out my laptop to do some work, and it was gone. And I thought, oh no, what is going on? And zipped back to the security gate that I had gone through, but I was on the back side of it, and they didn't have any any sign of my laptop. They said that they had already sent stuff off to the lost and found, and now the lost and found was closed. A perfect convergence of circumstances where they couldn't find it. Lost and found was closed. I had to get on a plane. So we didn't even know if lost and found had it. Get back to Spokane. Sure enough, they don't have it. Lost and found can't find it. And I, you know, trying to break through to these different groups was a battle all by itself. But long and the short of it was I had to submit a report. I had to send in photos. I had to describe a narrative of where I was and when I left it and draw pictures. And this is all unfolding over the course of a couple of weeks. And I'm stirred up. I'm stirred up because, oh no, I've lost my laptop and there's all my personal information. But I'm also stirred up because I'm not getting answers and I'm not getting support. And so I'm trying to, you know, look up phone numbers and break through. And well, the long of it is I never got anything back from them other than it's not here and we can't give you access to any video that might give an indication of what happened to your laptop because it was in the security area and that's under Homeland Security protocol. I'm like, are you kidding me? Why don't you tell me that on day one, right at the beginning? Ah, breathe, Tom, breathe. So I, again, had to change all my passwords and change all these different settings and try to track down what would be vulnerable points and just in case someone stole it and tried to access what was on it. Okay, long story. Well, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, late last week, I got a phone call from the Denver airport, lost and found. They found my laptop 6 months later. 6 months later, they found it. And it was on some lower shelf under a stack of, they described it as 100 laptops. I mean, how many people lose a laptop? And someone did the little extra work of opening the top of the laptop, opening it up and hitting the power button on. Thanks be to God, it hadn't completely powered down because there was my name. And so they were able to find my report and called me up and said, we've got your laptop. And I just got it back 2 days ago. Praise be to God. And the story there is that I tried so hard to turn every dial, make it happen, get people to take action, keep on pressuring them, sending another email, making another phone call. It didn't yield any positive result. And the mystery of it all was I had surrendered it. I had taken the actions that were responsible, but I had to let it go, just move on and hope for the best, if you will, and trust that God was going to take care of protecting that laptop from, you know, having bad things done. And then out of the blue, it comes back to me as a gift. And who knows the circumstances at the airport that ended up having that emerge when it did, as it did. But I got to tell you, the timing of it all was very providential. Incredibly so. And that brings me around to the book, He Leadeth Me. We haven't done a Sacred Heart Radio book club edition of this program for, Father Nagel was saying, almost a year, which is sort of shocking to me and how quickly time goes by. And we used to do these once a month and we all enjoyed doing them, but we kind of lost our momentum. And so Ron Belter recommended, hey, why don't we do He Leadeth Me, which was a recent gift as a part of the just previous Share-a-thon. And the both fathers were like, yeah, sure, that sounds like a good book. And I think they had both read it before. I had not. I had read his book, With God in Russia by Walter Chizik. And that tells the story of his time in Russia, in prison and in a labor camp and the circumstances around it. And I was aware of the book, He Leadeth Me. I'd never read it. And honestly, I just wasn't that drawn to it because it was proposed by Father Chizik to be sort of a spiritual testament and journal and providing further insights that would amplify what was told in story form in the book With God in Russia. And I thought, well, how good can that be? I mean, really? I mean, it, you know, are there going to be that many profound or shocking or provocative insights from this testament of faith? It's actually called An Extraordinary Testament of Faith as a subtitle. And I got to tell you, I'm halfway through the book, and it is an extraordinary testament of faith. This book is an incredible example of the power of testimony. It is an incredible model for preachers, for anyone who speaks about the Catholic faith or about their life in Christ, that weaves together the reality of the life that we live and the truths, the spiritual insights that we share. Simply put, in this book, He Leadeth Me, Father Chizik is sharing these diamonds, these precious gems of insight about the spiritual life that you have studied before. If you're listening to this program and this station, you are someone that is likely familiar with some of the classics of Catholic and Christian spirituality. You're likely someone that has gone to retreats and conferences and goes to Mass regularly and listens to podcasts and all of that. Well, pick me, that's me too. But this book, Father Chizik brings, I remember the story, and he's bringing me through the same story that I heard before. But boy, was he right when he said he had more to share that didn't come out in With God in Russia. The clarity and depth and impact of what he shares because of the story that he's involved in, because of the things that he's experiencing before he goes to Rome, when he's in Rome, when he gets sent to Poland and the war breaks out, and then when he ends up going into Russia and he's working there and the logging, and then he gets sent into the prison, and then he gets to the labor camp. The way that he is able to say in those contexts that each and all present a different facet of suffering, of the pressure testing of his faith, of, let's call it, his own experience of the passion, especially of the agony in the garden. At least that's where he is associating himself at this point in the book. And the things that he then shares about trusting in God, following his will, believing that, here's the title, believing that he leadeth me. I never got how provocative that title is until you start reading the book, because it appears at a human level, just at a human level, that if there's one thing happening in this man's life, is that he is a victim of the circumstances that he's involved in. Anything other than God is leading him. It's not just that God is with him, that God didn't abandon him. No, the Lord is leading him. I don't want to say any more about the book now. I'll have so much more to say after the book club that comes again in a week and a half. But I really encourage you to get this book, He Leadeth Me. Share some more insights based on the book. Welcome back to the program. It's a privilege to be with you and to share some of these stories with you. You heard me share that story about losing my laptop in Denver. It was my own fault. And yet God brought the laptop back to me. I put the hand of God on that. God leadeth my laptop back to me. And it came to me when I started reading, He Leadeth Me. And I didn't really put two and two together. And it's dawning on me now where the Lord is bringing about in me a new level of insight into the way that we are called upon, the way that I'm called upon to surrender my life into God's hands, even as I'm going about my day-to-day work. That as I go about my day-to-day work, I am to be open to be led by the Lord, by the Good Shepherd, by Jesus Christ, as he enters my day-to-day life and yours, brothers and sisters. And that if we are willing to do that, he will have things show up that are surprising, unexpected, have no necessary connection to our action. That's what happened with the laptop. Let me give you the scriptural example, because I want to connect it to your life and see if you can see the laptop story in the light of the scriptural story, but even better, to see your life as associated with the account found in Luke chapter 5 of the call of Simon Peter. You remember the story. Jesus approaches the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And there you have Simon Peter, Simon. He is there cleaning his nets. And if you remember the story, they had been fishing at night. That's when fishermen would fish. And in the way that they fish using their nets, the nets get some of the slime and the grime and the goo that is there in the bottom of the lake. And so they have to clean their nets in order to keep the nets less visible to fish and also more durable. And it's a hard work. It's a long, hard job to clean the nets. And to do it after a successful night of fishing, that can be pretty rewarding. To work hard all night to catch nothing and then have to come in and clean those nets that let you down, It is, it's frustrating. It's challenging. It can be, you can feel a sense of powerlessness, right? So here's Peter, Simon in this moment, and Jesus approaches him. Jesus takes the initiative. Jesus walks up to him and says, I'm going to get in your boat and I'm going to preach from your boat. And so Peter takes Simon, at this point, he's still Simon, takes him a short way out from the shore because there was likely a big crowd there crowding around Jesus. So it's difficult to get enough distance to be able to speak to a crowd. So a little bit off ashore, Jesus can speak from the crowd. But he's sitting in the boat, sitting as a teacher would sit. And I really like that. Can you see the analogy there? That Jesus takes the initiative and he approaches you in your workplace, your job, in your day-to-day life, in the what's traditionally called the duties of your state in life, you know, husband, father, wife, mother, if you're at home, caring for the kids, making a home, if you're at work, maybe you're working from home, whatever the circumstances are that are your day-to-day duties of your life, Jesus approaches you and enters your boat. And he wants to do something positive. He wants to proclaim the gospel, the good news. He wants to proclaim life from your life, precisely at a point in your life where, guess what? You're not very happy. Well, you're pretty frustrated. Well, you're feeling empty. You're spent, and you're not seeing any fruits of your labor. Wow, there is something to reflect on there, brothers and sisters. He's tried everything. He caught nothing. He's exhausted. And it's at that moment, maybe it's that moment that he's vulnerable. Maybe it's that moment where he's going to be more receptive because he's literally at the end of his rope and he's got nothing left. So his resistance is down. He realizes that all that he brings to the table is not enough. And so why not just say, all right, I give up, I give over, come and use my boat to speak from. And I think that's sometimes what it takes, our willingness just to say, I'm done. And now, remember I said, give God room, give God some space. It seems to me that a lot of what holds us back from being more useful to Jesus day to day is that we are not giving him a lot of space. And maybe we're not giving him a lot of space because we've been too effective. We've caught enough fish to keep ourselves going, and we're feeling pretty good about things. And so my boat's pretty crowded with the fish I'm catching, so I don't really got a lot of room for Jesus, and I don't got a lot of time for Jesus because I got to take care of these fish that I caught because I've been working. But if there's no fish, that boat's empty, and I all of a sudden got some space and I'm exhausted, I just might let Jesus in a new way. Maybe that's your challenge. Maybe that's my challenge. But in my life, I can see how when things are going well at a human level, when I have sufficient funds coming in through my work in real estate, when things are going well with my kids, I'm not getting calls at midnight saying, hey, Dad, last night I met a tattoo artist in a bar. The story's coming. You got to hold on, though, for that story. That really did happen yesterday. Oh, okay. Where was I? And so maybe it's when things start breaking down that all of a sudden we start opening up. It's really mysterious. As I was reading this book, I'm reading it every day now, and I'm telling Carrie about it. On Sunday, Carrie had what I asked her about later. I said, do you think that was a spiritual attack? She just had a reaction to something that happened that was not typical. And so when she took some space to pray and to reflect on it, she prayed and reflected on it a lot. She was like, yeah, I can't explain what happened. can't explain my what's stirred up in me. It came from a place that I didn't know existed in me. And it brought her to a place where that spiritual attack led her, drove her to the presence of the Lord, to seek him in adoration, and to say, Lord, what are you saying to me? What's happening here? Lord, what are you asking? What's happening inside of me? How do I reflect on this and take action? Very powerful. And again, it seems to me, if you say, as you start to move in accord with God's plan and purpose for your life, you should expect that there will be attacks, that the realm of the demonic is going to hate that you would walk a path that would lead to deeper spiritual insight, deeper conversion, a transformation that will bear more fruit in holiness in your life, but also you become a vessel that is more fruitfully used by God. Do you want that? Well, I hope you're saying, yes, I want that. Tom, let's go. Sign me up for it. Well, you just signed up for working hard all night, catching nothing, and being there frustrated and empty and powerless and not in control and not having enough. And in that place of desperation, the Lord is saying, finally, you're going to make some room for me to come in. Finally, I've got some space to come and operate and to move. And I say that to you because look what happened in Peter's life, Simon's life. You know, he's got nothing. Jesus uses his boat, his life, to speak the gospel. And then Jesus says, go out into the deep. There it is. Do you want to go out into the deep? But not just go out into the deep, but go out into the deep and cast your nets for a catch. Go out into the deep and cast your nets, let your nets go down for a catch. And again, I presume you've heard these reflections before, but to simply summarize them, Peter is being asked by Jesus to take his boat out to the wrong part of the lake during the wrong time of the day, and to use the nets that he has in a way that won't be effective. The time of day to fish is at night into the very earliest parts of the morning. The place to fish is by the shore. And the type of nets Peter had would have had to scrape against the bottom of the lake in order to catch the fish by the way that they would drag the nets. And instead, Jesus says, go out to the middle of the lake where it's deepest during the time of day where the fish are not going to be found. They're not going to be out in that part of the lake, and throw them over the side and scoop them because you're not going to reach the bottom. And what happens? The nets are filled to overflowing. They're going to break. They fill not just one boat, but another boat that's so full that they almost are going to sink the boats. So extraordinary, immense, overwhelming, filled to overflowing. It's God. Look, Peter, he is Simon, right? You had nothing. You had all the control you had led you to an empty result, a frustrated result. But when you made space for the Lord, he brought you out and took you on a path that was different than you expected, in a way that was different than you would have thought productive. And he led you to an outcome that was miraculous, truly supernatural. Do you want to sign up for that? Maybe if I began with that, you would have said yes. Hey, everybody, today on the program, I'm going to give you a path to having your boats be filled to the point of sinking. Do you want in? Say yes to that outcome, and then we'll go talk about the path. That would have been probably a better way to sell this. So, But this is what God wants for us. He doesn't want us to settle for less. Boy, we have got to get that ego out of the way. We have got to get that sense of self trying to control things into a place where we're more empty and available. Empty and available. And I want you to know that this idea of empty and available doesn't always mean you're going to be frustrated. It does mean, however, in the midst of your day-to-day life, that in the duties of your state and life, in the midst of your job, you be open to those places where the Lord is going to come in and ask you to speak from your life. So just yesterday, got a phone call. And let me just say this. You don't always know what's at stake in a conversation. Let me say that again. You don't always know when you meet somebody, you bump into somebody, maybe you meet them from the first time or you get a call from someone. You don't always know what's at stake in a conversation. So this woman called me and she was calling me asking if I wanted to advertise my real estate services on the back of a bulletin at a nearby parish at St. Thomas in Coeur d'Alene. And I had a year ago, and I'd stopped doing that. And she said, hey, I was calling to see if you want to support the parish. You could advertise on the back of that that bulletin. The most natural and easy thing for me would have just been hang up the phone. Just say nothing. Or just say, no, thank you. Take me off your list. Or to say, appreciate it. Too expensive. Not interested in doing it. I could have said any one of those things. I didn't, or done any one of those things. Instead, I said, you know, it is likely a valuable thing. I didn't say these words. What I said was, you know, there are a lot of realtors in that parish who go to that parish. And I know that a number of folks that move this way come to that parish to check it out. And I'm actually really fine. And I think it's a great thing that those agents that belong to that parish would get the phone calls. So I'm happy to leave that that bulletin to them. And she laughed and she said, yeah, you know, we do actually have a few realtors on the back of this bulletin. And then she said, I said something else. She said, well, you know, we have another parish that's coming up. And I said, you know, well, thank you. You know, you feel free to reach out to me and, you know, maybe that will be the right thing for me to do. And then she said something to me that I didn't realize. What did she say? I'll tell you in a minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com. Okay, back to Sound Insight.
All right, welcome back to the program. So here I am on the phone, got a phone call from this lady trying to sell me something. And I didn't just say, no, I'm not interested. I said to her something that was authentic. I said, hey, marketing my real estate services in the back of that bulletin, I'm happy to let the positive, you know, effect of having it there, go to the other agents that are there. And then she said something that I didn't realize. I didn't realize what was at stake. She said, you know, she said, I just want to let you know that I've listened to you and your wife on the radio for years. And because I had asked her, I had said to her, oh, do you live over here? And she said, no, I have a daughter that moved over this way. And I'm in the Seattle area. But she said, I would listen to you going to work every day and listening to you and your wife. And she started laughing and just the blessing it was listening to Sacred Heart Radio and enjoyed the program so much. And Okay, pause. I had no idea that this woman knew me. And if I had taken an attitude, a tone, if I had related to her in her request to me in a brusque fashion and pushed her aside, and that would have had an impact. Could have had an impact that was negative. Well, instead, I said to her, remember now, Jesus is entering my boat. I need to make space for the Lord. But this isn't just about a merely human way of looking at things. And so I said to her, hey, you know, this is not a coincidence that we're talking. God has brought about this phone call. It wasn't a convenient time for me to pick up the phone. I did pick it up, took the call, and it led to this. And I said, God brought us together for a reason. So would it be okay if I prayed with you? And she said, well, yes. And I said, well, what can I pray for? She said, well, pray for the world, pray for our country. I said, no, that is not why God called us together. God did not connect us for me to say a general prayer for the world, for peace, and for this country. And I said, I can, of course, pray for those things. But what about you? And I had this sense. I had this little nudge inside of me where I sensed that she had a burden on her heart. There was something that she really wanted some prayer support regarding. And it was in there, but she was reluctant to bring it out into the open. And I just invited her. I just said, you know, look, this is a chance just to let have me pray with you. I said, God set this up as a way of letting you know that he's here to, he knows the cry of your heart, and he's here to bless you. And he wants to lavish good things upon you and upon this point of need. And so she said, okay. And then she shared it. It wasn't anything very secret or confidential, but it was a personal, the burden that she had as a mom. And I'm like, let's pray for that. And I just prayed for her, right? So you hear how I've done that in other circumstances, and I just did that here. And at the end of the prayer, she was very grateful. Very grateful. And we just finished off the call, and she went her way, and I went my way. And I share that with you to say that if we are open, if we make space for the Lord, if we are not trying to make stuff happen, we'll discover that the Lord will enter the duties of our state in life. He'll enter our lives and our day-to-day activities and give us that chance to be salt, light, and leaven. I want to bring you to another conversation. So Carrie and I, we met with a couple. They had wanted to get together, have a bunch of kiddos. And it made me think of my older brother, George. One of his very favorite passages from the gospel is Mark 10:43. Jesus said, I have come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Okay, hear it again. Mark 10:43. I have come not to be served, but to serve. And okay, I'm going to give you a different phrase, and to pour out my life, to empty my life as a ransom for many. And that for me is a beautiful counterpoint to the emptiness that Simon Peter had where he had tried everything on his own to bring it all about, ended up empty, and his emptiness was frustrating. There's another form of emptying that is the loving giving of oneself sacrificially, generously, as a ransom for many to set others free. And this is my word of encouragement, my word of encouragement to young couples and to families who in their openness to life have been given the gift. It's a gift, it's a gift, it's a gift, not given to everyone. The gift of many children. And it's something that I encourage. It's something that Carrie and I, if we could just share, something that we would want you to know, something that we would want to witness. So after, not in the same exact way as Father Chizik and He Leadeth Me, but in our story, that reality of be open to that concept of generously welcoming children into your married life. And that really is a mystery. And you know, if you've followed Carrie and my story at all, to tell it to you in 1 minute, and the mystery of how God's plan for children in our lives unfolded, we got married for 4 years, we're experiencing infertility. God then mysteriously, and then we realized that children are a gift, right? Not something that we could cause. It was a gift coming from God. And then that gift was given. Carrie became pregnant, but then that gift wasn't brought to fruition. That baby, that pregnancy ended in a miscarriage. And then that gift was given. I told that story yesterday. We had called upon the intercession of then venerable, then blessed Padre Pio. And with the intercessory support of saints on earth, like Mother Teresa, yes, Mother Teresa praying for us, and a bunch of nuns in Prayer Town, Texas, and saints in heaven, given the gift of our first baby. And then we experienced multiple miscarriages, followed by the gift of having a child be welcomed into our home through adoption. And then welcoming into our life a baby that Carrie gave birth to with significant health challenges, as in 9 surgeries in 11 years. And we going to travel to 3 different children's hospitals around the country and daily therapies and medications and treatments. And then after that, 6 more kids coming in 7 more years. Or 8 more years. So God, the journey that God has put us on, very mysterious. But I got to tell you, the way that our kids relate and love each other and are together, it has called us to realize that as parents, we've come not to be served, but to serve and to give our lives as a ransom for many. So how does Jesus show up in your life? You who are called to be married, you who are given the gift of any child, one child, any child is going to fill your life to overflowing and bring about that call to serve and to pour out your life, to empty your life as a ransom for many, as a ransom for those that God puts in front of you. And so I just share that with you. And Carrie and I had a chance to share that last night. And just to say to couples that are open to life and they're having many kids, it can be exhausting. And so Carrie came up with a beautiful idea that we started to implement in a few different forms about 10 years ago. And I'll pick up on this theme in just a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. It's a great joy to be with you all. If you're enjoying these programs, I do encourage you to go to mycatholicfaith.org. And you can, from there, access the Apple Podcast version of this program. It's the Dr. Tom Curran Podcast, or on Spotify. And there, like click on it and give it a 5-star rating and give it a review. And that way, Apple and Spotify will recognize, oh, people like this and listen to this, and they'll advance the movement of it forward so that other people can see it. So thank you for doing that. And again, on mycatholicfaith.org, that's my website, you'll be able to get access to free downloadable resources, digital books on the Mass, on marriage, on confession, as well as all kinds of talks on various topics of faith, all for the price of free, no cost, downloadable free digital resources for you, my gift to you. All right, so Carrie came up with this idea as she herself was a mother of many. God ended up blessing us with 9 kids in 12 years, that life was overwhelming. And we, she and I, who love serving, love to be active and pouring our lives out, quickly got overwhelmed as more and more kids came, and our lives got more focused in and down, like in towards the family and down towards the kids. And it was a little discouraging not to have the space and time and energy to go outwards at the service of others. But that wasn't the time. That wasn't the stage that we were in. We were in a stage in our lives as God was giving us the gift of children to not be serving outside our family, but to attending to the needs of the growing children. And it was one of those realizations that Carrie had, that when our kids got old enough and we were able to once again put some focus and energy outwards towards others, that we wanted to come alongside families who were in the circumstance that we, in that stage, entering that stage, that we were just coming out of, where it was so all-consuming and all-absorbing. And frankly, especially for the mom, it can be a bit discouraging and overwhelming to feel like there's no end to this. And how come I can only attend to just getting through the next half an hour, getting through this day? And Carrie's realization is the women need to know that's okay. They need to know that it's okay that they're in that stage, they're in that situation in life, and not to get discouraged, but to realize that the Lord wants to meet you in the midst of all of that. And he's in your life at work through your life, raising these little saints, even when it's emptying you out in very sacrificial ways. That's so important. Husbands, you got to tell your wives this. If they're raising, in the midst of raising challenging kids or a number of kids, and it's just emptying and pouring out, parents, you've got to know this, but husbands, you got to tell your wives. Well, Carrie's idea was, why don't we make a nice meal for them? Why don't we just show up with like a couple bags of groceries and a nice couple of big meals, like from Costco? And so she would load up some Costco boxes, go to the store, and just surprise a big family. Here we are. And the idea was, it wasn't that, you know, these families were of necessity, like economically poor. It wasn't about that. It was about being emotionally drained and personally emptied and as a loving wife and mother exhausted, or husband, father exhausted. This was about just pouring into them, just some loving kindness, just an act of saying, here we are. Let us just lavish some enjoyable foods on you and just hand it off and go away. We're not here to take up any more time and energy of yours. We just want to hand it off to you and go away. And let's just say that's never not been well received. It's always been so beautifully received by the families that she's done that to, and she still does it. The second thing was offering free babysitting. Ta-da! One of the big challenges that families that have a bunch of kids face is the economics around getting out for a date night. It might cost a couple hundred bucks. if you've got a bunch of kids and you've got to get those kids watched, you're talking about two babysitters, not just one, unless they're like amazing. Typically two is going to be required. And if you're out for a few hours just to get away for a dinner or a dinner and a movie, well, first of all, you got to pay for the dinner and the movie, and then you got to come home and you're dishing out 50, 70, 100 bucks for the babysitting. And Carrie's like, no, you know what? Four oldest girls, you're available. And so just we would call. And I think we even did it once on the radio. Just said, hey, you guys, you need a break. Drop your kids off or we'll come to you and we'll babysit. And some families took us up on it. And it was really neat for my kids to be able to do that. And there was only one proviso. You can't pay the kids, right? This is the gift. This is my kids are learning to serve. And you're getting a gift of being able to get out, just to get away. And that's just a gift. And we just want you to have that gift. And now, and Carrie's still doing that. Now it's my youngest three, rather than my oldest four. It's the youngest three that are, these are all the girls. I'm not sure the boys ever did it. But the youngest three girls, now my youngest girl's 11. So let me tell you, they're good. They're good. 11, 14, 13 and 15. And they're a wonderful team. They do a great job. So if you have a lot of kids and you're in the Spokane area, Spokane Valley area, and you need some free babysitting so you can go out, just get some time away with your spouse, let me know. Send me an email, tom@mycatholicfaith.org. If you don't take me up on it, it's not my fault. I use that line occasionally. And what's the idea? You're pouring yourself out. Let us just be a gift to you. Let us just be a gift to you so that you can just get a break. You can breathe. Just know that we get that there's a challenge. And we just want that to be, hey, you know, it's not your boat's being filled up with fish to overflowing, but it's still a gift, right? It's still a gift. So, and just let me tell you, the challenges don't end either, right? The challenges don't. Oh, so one of the other things we'll do is we'll also say, hey, you know what? We'll come to you. We'll bring a meal. We'll bring the babysitters and we'll just come and just spend some time together if they want that and just hang out and visit and the kids get watched. So that's what we did last night. Hey, come on over. We'll make a dinner for your family. The kids, my kids took their kids downstairs and the adults just got to have a conversation without worrying about their kiddos. So do that. Be a blessing to another family. Extend yourself. Give of yourself. Right? Jesus can say it in your life. Let him say it inside your life that he continues to come, not to be served, but to serve and to give of himself, to give his very life as a ransom for others. So you can be the hands and feet of Jesus in your way as well. The challenges don't end. The challenges don't end. Last night, I got a call. It was after midnight where my daughter was. And Dad, yes, why are you calling me so late? Oh, did you talk to Mom? No. Mom didn't tell you what I did last night? And I'm like, oh, no. And it kind of flashed through my head, and then she confirmed it. Yeah, Dad, last night I went to a bar and I met a tattoo artist. Can anything good follow that introductory line? Really? Can anything good follow that line? And yes, indeed, she got a tattoo. God bless me. God bless her. And thanks be to God, it wasn't too large. It's not on her neck. It's not on her face. But she was delighted. I was like, oh, my sweetie, more prayer, more prayer, more prayer. So the pouring out, it's not going to end. It's not going to end. He leadeth me. Jesus, you need to show me how you are leading me even through circumstances like this in my life that are not part. I mean, she's an adult, so she does what she chooses. Breathe. So to finish, this book, He Leadeth Me, An Extraordinary Testament of Faith by Walter Cizek, C-I-S-Z-E-K. It's the upcoming book club. It's the next book club edition of the program coming up a week from Monday. Please get this book. Get it. Get it and start reading it in time for the book club. And if you're not convinced, wait till the book club, and then you'll definitely want to buy it. God bless your day.